My timer, Rabbi Amar Shafisha ain't bikin b'lishma. Rabbi says, ain't eidim mitzuyin l'kaima. We have a Mishnah, a Takana Jerabanan, to which the first parak and change are dedicated to. Takana Jerabanan b'fai necht fai nechtam. Opening machlokas, what's the rationale for the Takana? What problem were Chazal trying to solve? According to Rabbi, it's a concern of ain't bikin b'lishma. According to Rav, it's a concern of Ein Edim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo. After listing several Nafkaminas, we had spent some time on Das Yuva Beit Rei in particular, the Gemara is going to begin to stress test each tzad. Ask Kashas on Rabba, ask Kashas on Rava, back and forth for a couple of blah. A part of what the Gemara is trying to accomplish, obviously, is to figure out whom do we paskin like. If there are nafkaminas, and we may come across more nafkaminas, so halacha l'maisa, what is it then by siyuah beitrei? What is it then by maybe medina l'medina b'medina sayam? I'm sorry, b'osim medina b'medina sayam. What is it then? Rishonim do come to conclusion based on looking at the way the sugya flows. A part of what the Gemara is trying to accomplish also is simply to be mevarer b'shitos, to really understand what exactly the Rabbah is saying. What exactly was Rava saying? So with that in mind, we jump into the beginning of this Diyan. We're on Beis Amid Beis, after the three Nafkaminas, the Gemara asks a series of kashas. We're going to try to... There's a lot going on in the Shach Vitaria. So we'll try to pick it apart piece by piece. Well, the Rava Dam Levishayim Bekin Lishma. Beis Amid Beis in the Gemara. Rava says that the reason for Bevanech Levanechtam is because of a concern that the get was written Shalom Lishma. The Jews out in Medina Sayam are more likely to create a Shalom, to have a Shalom Lishma get than Jews in Eretz Yisrael. It's a heightened concern, so we have to fight that concern by demanding that the Shliach from Medina Sayam say, Befanai Nechtav or Befanai Nechtav. So Gemara says, but if that's the concern, Libay Trey, what is it, if that is a concern, so we ought to do something about it, but having a single shliach tell me that it's okay seems pointless. You need to? Mizahava kol edus shebetorah. Just like any edus. The Torah tells me twice in Chumash that you need two edim, once in the context of mammon, once in the context of onshe aguf, misa and malchus. You need two edim. That's a rule b'chol Torah kula. So what's gained by having one aid? We should have made a takana that you always, whenever you send a get from Medina Sayam, this way the Achronim unpack it, if you're trying to solve a problem of Ein Bikin B'Lishma, then we should have demanded that you always send a get from Medina Sayam with two people, with two shluchim, and they have to both say Fanech Fanechtam. Or, as we said before, maybe you have two people. You don't need v'aynechtem v'aynechtem. But what's gained by being misakein? It's okay to have one shliach, but he'll say v'aynechtem v'aynechtem. Him saying v'aynechtem v'aynechtem is worthless. He's only an eid echad. So the Gemara answers, well, eid echadem v'isurin. In the world of mammon, you need two eidim. In the world of misa or malchus, onchi aguf, you need two eidim. But elsewhere in halacha, Isser v'hatar, one eid is enough. That's the rule. Eid echad, nevim b'yisurin. And the Mesoros HaShas on the side sends you to other places where this shows up in Shas. Specifically, Chulin Daf Yudim Beis, in the context of a shochet. The Gemara says there are all sorts of rules about shechita, but at least strictly speaking, a shochet comes and tells you, here's meat from the animal that I just shechted. So you, eid echad, nevim b'yisurin. Eid echad neman bisur. We're going to believe the fellow. So that's what's going on here. Let's take a look a little bit more of the Gemara, and then we'll try to understand a number of issues in the sugya. The first of which is what Rashi and Tosfos jump into, which is where exactly did this rule come from? And the Gemara is going to go on to talk about it. Is it relevant here? So let's see a little bit more of the Gemara, and then we'll come back to dig into Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara goes on to say, well, it's true, the Gemara says, There is a rule of Eidechanan Bisurin, but that's not relevant here. The Shliach HaGet, who is saying, B'fanei Nechta, B'fanei Nechtam, he's not an Eidechan. Why, the Gemara says? Vayter, you based on a based on the Gemara. When do we say Eidechanan Bisurin? Kegon Chaticha. If you have a piece of meat, Safik Shal Chalev, Safik Shal Shuman. I have a piece of fat from the animal, or fatty meat from the animal. And you know the Torah says that one type of macholos asuris is nevela. You have an animal that died without a proper shchita. That's what we're talking about. That's what's going on in Maseches Chulin. Since the din of shchita. Another type of macholos asuris in an animal, even if the animal had a proper shchita, a lot of the fat in the hindquarters of the animal, the back half of the animal, is called chelev. It more or less corresponds to the fats that if the animal were to be a carbon, those fats would be burnt on the mizbeach, even if it's not a carbon ola. Carbon ola, almost the entire animal goes on the mizbeach. Any other carbon, so most of the animal is eaten, and there's a small percentage of the animal that's burned on the mizbeach, called emurim. So a lot of those emurim are hindquarter fats, fats from the back half of the animal, called chelev. So that more or less corresponds, even when you have an animal that isn't a carbon, you still cannot eat the chelev fats of the animal. So some of the fat in the animal are called chelev, and that's not kosher, and other fat in the animal is called, all other fat is called shuman. It just means fat. If you look at a nutritional label on food in Eretz Yisrael, so instead of seeing the protein, carbohydrates, and fats, you'll see chelbonim, and pachmimiot, proteins and carbohydrates, and shumanim, shuman is fat. Ravui, inner ravui, saturated, unsaturated, shuman is fat. So the Gemara says, it's true that Eidechanan Bisurin, if Dovi says, here's a piece of meat, fatty, juicy steak, and he says, don't worry, this is shuman, it's not chelev. I don't know if it's shuman or chelev. What do I know? So that's what the Gemara says. You have a chaticha, a piece of meat. Safik shal chelev, safik shal shuman, and I don't know whether it's chelev or shuman, whether that fat is kosher or not kosher. The law is chazik yisur. There's no cheskes yisur. Either it was always kosher, it was always straight. Okay. And Dovi tells me it's kosher. Say dechad neman bi yisur. The Gemara says, but by the get, it's chazik yisur. It's chazik yisur. The eidecha is not going to be believed against the cheskes yisur. That's what the Gemara tells us at length. In Maseches Yevamos. The Eidechan is believed to tell me, you didn't know whether it's kosher or treif, you should know it's kosher. But if the Cheskes Isser, then that's not so partial. Eidechan is not normally going to be believed against the Cheskes Isser. So that's what the Gemara seems to say here. This is not so partial that the shliach of the get comes and says, this get is kosher. The get is l'shma, don't worry. That's not so simple. He's a eidechad, but against the cheskes iser, that's not something I can deal with. And the Gemara is going to continue to discuss it. Okay. So the Gemara is going to try to figure out, how come we're relying on the... why does it help to say the shliach haget, he's the only one person, he's going to say, what does that help? But is he Eidechanem Bisurim or not because of Cheskes Yisur and other issues that Gemara is going to continue to raise? Ultimately, on Gimel and Aleph, the Gemara is going to come to the conclusion that it's not based on Eidechanem Bisurim. There's a different reason why he's believed, not based on Eidechanem Bisurim. But the first suggestion the Gemara had is, well, maybe the way that this solution works, according to Roberts, the solution to the problem of Lishma, maybe it works because he is an Eid Echad Neman B'Yisur. So let's take a look at what Rashi says. Having seen a little bit more context, let's come back to Rashi on that line. Umishani, Rashi says, the Gemara is giving an answer, Eid Echad Neman B'Yisurin, that if your one eid is believed in the world of Isur v'heter, not in the world of Mamon, and also not in the world of Chiyuv Misa or Chiyuv Malkus, but this is neither. This is regular Isur v'heter. How do I know? Because after all, that word is key. Shaharei. After all, Hanina Torah Kol Echad Echad Nisho. Again, we're in Rashi. The Torah believes every Jew. Al Hafrashas Truma, Al Hashchita, Val Nikar Agid Vachel. After all, the Torah believes every gives every Jew Nemanus to say that an animal underwent the proper shechita. The Torah gives every Jew Nemanus to say that the oranges that grew in his orange grove underwent the process of Truma Sinai. Just as you know, fruits and vegetables that grow in Eretz Yisrael are not kosher as is. In America, if you grow up in a Chutz La'aretz, so you're raised to assume that the most kosher food possible is a whole fruit. Now you're out somewhere where kashrus is not, can't be taken for granted. It's someone's home, you're not sure what the kashrus situation is. So growing up in the United States, the easiest thing to eat is I'll take a plum, I'll take an apple, I'll take a banana. That's always easier. A whole uncut, unbaked, uncooked fruit is always, you know, that's like the gold standard. It's always simple. I want to give you a slice of cake. I don't know, is it kosher, is it treif? But a fresh fruit, a whole fresh fruit is in America is always the most kosher item possible. So it's not kosher sensitive. And Eretz Yisrael, that's because we're chutz la'aretz Jews. That speaks to the fact that we're not living with the whole area of halacha. In Eretz Yisrael, ironically, the meat tends to often have less. Kashrus on meat is often simpler than kashrus on the fruits and vegetables. Because in Eretz Yisrael, you have all the mitzvahs of tluyas ba'aretz, all the agricultural mitzvahs. Specifically, let's talk for a moment about trumas and maisers. If I have grain, fruits, vegetables growing in Eretz Yisrael, so I have a mitzvah to take off. A Jewish farmer has a mitzvah to take off truma and give it to the kohen, to take off maaser rishon and give it to the levi, and to take off either maaser sheni, maaser ani, and take care of that properly. Maaser sheni gets eaten in Yerushalayim, but tahor, the maaser ani gets given to the ani. Not only does a Jewish farmer in Eretz Yisrael have a mitzvah to do hafrashas trumas and maasers, not only is it a mitzvah and a chiyuv, but it also is matir and iser. Until the trumas and maasers are unlike, let's say, pidyon haben, or contrary to popular belief, pidyon haben is a mitzvah, a chiyuv. If you're not a kohen or a levi, your wife is not a kohenis or a levia, and you have a firstborn son, so you have a chiyuv to be poed the baby boy to give 5 slum to the kohen. That is true. If you did not give 5 slum to the kohen, the child is still a mutter. He does not belong to the kohen. He's mutter bahana. The other day I was at a simcha with a family who's now 11-year-old son. I was poda 11 years ago. So they were making the requisite jokes about how, you know, if you don't behave, we'll give you back to the kohen. You know, if you're not, you don't say hello to him, they take you back. All those, you know, the standard requisite jokes. But it's all untrue. There's no chalos on the kid. There's a chiyuv of a pidyon haben. But the child, there's no status on the child that's removed with the pidyon haben. But in the fruits and vegetables that grow in Eretz Yisrael, the grain that grow in Eretz Yisrael, there is a status. Until you have a farshas trumas and maasers, the grain, the fruits, the vegetables, they are in Aser, the name of the Isser is Tevel, Tez, Beis, Lamed. It's Tevel until you do a farshas trumas and maasers. It's Tevel until you do a farshas trumas and maasers. The trumas and maasers is not only a mitzvah, the farshas also matir the Isser. So that's what Rashi says. The Torah believes every Jew to say this meat came from an animal that underwent the proper shechita. The Torah believes every Jew to say these oranges underwent hafrashas trumas and maasers, therefore they are no longer tevel. The Torah believes every Jew to say that nikur hagid v'achelev. What is nikur hagid v'achelev? Removing the chelev from the hindquarters of the animal, or removing the gid hanasha, coming up in next week's parasha, from the hindquarters of the animal. Matter of fact, Ashkenazim generally don't eat the hindquarters of the animal at all. Ashkenazim typically just eat, certainly Chutz La'aretz, just eat the front half of the cuts of meat. The cuts of meat that Ashkenazim eat are often the front half of the animal. And the back half of the animal just gets cut off and sold to the non-Jewish market. and we tend not to even bother to do, to Ashkenazim, to do the labor-intensive work of removing the Geranasha and all the associated parts for the Geranasha, and removing all the Chalev, which is cut off the back half. That's why Ashkenazim don't serve filet mignon, because that's from the back half of the animal. But Rashi said, look, the Torah gives nemanas to every Jew to say, a shechita was done, hafarshas trumas ma'asos was done, this piece of meat doesn't contain any gidanasha, it doesn't contain any chalev, I was menaker. It means I removed all of the gidanasha, all of the chalev. So that's what Rashi says. Why is Rashi telling me this? It's time to know. You learn Maseches Gittin. In case you want a little variety, you should know that Eidechen and Bisur has other applications also. As applications to Kashrus. Yeah, what do you say? Are you done? What's Rashi's point? What's Rashi trying to accomplish by telling you about Shechita and Tevel and Geranosh and Chelev? Okay, good. And why do... Is it because he wants to make it more interesting? Maybe. It's not usually Rashi's style to spend time just giving other examples of din. So that first word, Sheharei, or the first three words, Sheharei Hamina Torah, tells you what's Rashi trying to accomplish? And why is Rashi trying to tell me that? We just said Eidechem Yisur. We haven't even yet said it's Chazik Yisur. In the next line, the Gemara is going to say it's Chazik Yisur, Eidecha doesn't work. Here we're telling you Eidecha does work, and here are some examples. Shechita, Nikar, Agid. So why is Rashi giving me examples? Okay, it's a good point. He says Torah, so talk about Daraises, and therefore doing what? It's very basic. Yes, sir.
Well, for the
it's so partial. You guys already are way ahead.
Well,
Dvarim Shutim.
Before we were saying that it was a chaska sister, maybe these don't have chaska sister, so they're better examples.
Okay. But again, we went back to the maybe I was confusing to read another couple lines of Gemara. Rashi taught the first line. He says the Gemara asks a kasha. According to Rabba, that before that, we're not supposed to solve the problem of we're not sure whether or not this is lishma. So the Gemara said, well, how have you solved your problem? How's the answer the question? All you're doing is providing with an Eidecha. An Eidecha is worthless. You need to aid him. So the Gemara says, no. By Mama, you need to aid him. By Misa, by Malkus, you need to aid him. But this is Isurim. Eidecha nam b'Isurim. So Rashi pipes up and says, Sharei, the Torah believes me by Shechita. Yeah?
The
Eidecha
is the Torah.
Yeah, in other words, he's trying to give a source. He's trying to, well, who told you Eidechen and Bisurim? The guard says, Eidechen and Bisurim. Based on what? Based on, where'd that come from? So Rashi is, what's Rashi doing? He's giving you the mucker. He's giving you the source. How do I know Eidechen and Bisurim? As some of you point out, maybe I heard of it elsewhere, but where's it come from? And specifically, is it a Dindaraisa? Or is that just a Drabanan? Because after we want to say that it works from our Torah. This woman is a married woman. If this get is valid, that will change that status on the level of daraisa. So we need to know real daraisa nemanas that this is a valid get. So Eidechen and Bisurim based on what? Rashi isn't just giving examples. He's giving the mucker. How do I know he's giving the mucker? Primarily because of the first word. Sheharei. Because after all, and then he says, the Torah believes every Jew. In other words, there's some indication in Chumash that you're believed on Shechita, Gidanasha, Chelev, Truma. That's what it sounds like Rashi is saying. Not just giving an example, it sounds like Rashi is giving. Makar. Rashi, the Rashba, when he quotes this Rashi here, says a little more. He says, yeah, because after all, he says, "Hamina Torah Cholecha V'Echa." The Rashba says, "Kidichsev V'Shachadas Ben Abakar." The Torah speaks about one person, not the Shachatu, one person shechting the carbon, and then subsequently the other Kohanim are going to be Mekabel V'Dam and so on and so forth. So apparently one person is Neman on Shechita. If you look in Zev point out, if you look in Rashi and Chulin, so there he's even more explicit about it. He says, yeah, we believe you on Shechita. After all, I have a pasuk here, I have a pasuk by Korban, and I have another pasuk in Re'eh, by just a regular animal, Basar Taiva, regular Chulin. It sounds like people, the Torah describes Shechita happening individually. The Torah's description of Shechita sounds like it works even if you're just by yourself. I'm Shechti by myself, and other people are going to eat it. So the indication being, yeah, okay, so apparently Eidech and then Bisurin. The Chumash makes it sound like Shmuel could Shecht without anyone else watching, and we're all going to eat it. Well, how does that work? How do any of us know that the animal is kosher? The answer is, we believe Shmuel. Eidech and then Bisurin. So Rashi is not just giving examples, Rashi is giving marker. Which then lends a lot to when Tosus attacks Rashi, they're trying to figure out what's really going on here, even though Tosus only raises it at the near the end. Oh, where does Eidech and Bisurin come from? That's really the subtext of the whole Tosus. Is where Rashi is giving me a makar, Eidech and Bisurin. And Tosas and attacking Rashi saying, I don't think that's a valid makar. That's not the source. Let me explain why that's irrelevant. The case that Rashi gave is irrelevant to Eid Echad Neman Bisur. And before we go on to Tosas, let's just clarify one or two things. I already mentioned the notion of Cheskas Esser. Let's just define our terms clearly so you know exactly what we're talking about, so we're not using fuzzy concepts. Everyone here learned Bava Basra. Everyone here specifically learned Cheskas Abatim, so which is good and bad. Learning Torah is Gvaldik. But it could end up being a little confusing because all of a sudden the Gemara is talking about Chazaka, Tais is talking about Chazaka, and you're like, what does this have anything to do with someone living in a house for 3 years? With the Shivvi, without the Shivvi? So Rabbi Shechter has a Nusach, Chayvah Melor Loshon Rabo. He quotes this as the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim didn't say all of this. Prima Gadim said something. Shechter unpacked it into a beautiful, clear yesod, which is that the word chazaka, chayvam lam lashon rabo, Shechter always says, the Prima Gadim writes in his Akdama to Shulchan Aruch, the word chazaka really could refer to any one of six different concepts. The same ches, Chatapatach, Zayin, Kamatz, Kuf, Kamatei, same word, they can refer to any one of six independent concepts. Why is there one word that's used for in six different contexts? Because the word chazaka means a presumption. That's what the word means. There are different ways to build a presumption. So for instance, one type of chazaka was, if someone's been living in a house for 3 years, uncontested, so we can presume that he owns the house. That's one type of chazaka. Another, that's one sense of the word chazak is a cheskas gimel shanim. But there are many other senses of the word chazak. The most common sense of the word chazaka appears in a Mishnah later Maseches Gittin. Take a look at Chav Ches Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says, and maybe get the nicho zakin ochola. Here we are deep into the third parak. Parak HaLaget. You have a shliach haget, a fellow shows up, husband is in Paris, the wife is in Marseille, and a Jew travels, a third party, shliach laholacha, travels from Paris to Marseille carrying a get, and brings it, comes to the Beis Din in Marseille, and says, I have a get for a woman who lives here. So, the Mishnah says, here's the twist, v'nicho zakin ochola. The fellow says, as they start, the basis starts asking the shliach some questions. They say, well, did you meet the husband? Yeah, the husband gave it to me. He asked about the CVR Baal, and so on and so forth. And the shliach mentions, the husband's an elderly man. The husband's ill, not the flu. Seriously ill. So the question is the husband still alive? You left Paris a week ago. This is before phones, before telegrams, before Instagram. Before telegrams with a capital T or a lowercase t. So is the husband still alive? We hope so. We have no way of knowing. When you left, He wasn't at death's door. He wasn't a goseis, but he was very elderly. He was already ill, seriously ill. Could be still alive, could be not alive, I don't know. It was a week ago, it was a month ago, it was 6 months ago. I traveled from Beijing to Paris, back in the old days, by camel. So 9 months ago, the husband gave me this get to give to the wife. So now 9 months later, I've arrived in Paris with a get. So the Beis in Paris says, is the husband alive? The shliach says, he was alive 9 months ago last time I saw him, but obviously I haven't seen him in 9 months. So what's the din? Can you give the get or not? Dead men cannot divorce. The get is not valid if the husband is no longer alive. Remember, he's a shliach leholacha. He's a shliach habal. The get hasn't taken effect. The get will only take effect when the husband, or in this case the husband's shaliach, shulch shalom kamoso, hands it to the wife. She's not divorced until she receives it miyad shliach. So if the husband at this moment is no longer alive, then when the shliach gives it to the wife, she's not divorced. Yeah, you have a... Good. Chazak is still alive. Fantastic. Anyone have bothered, before we jump into Chazak, which is our point, anyone have a simple logical question you might be bothered by?
If she's not divorced, she's not married.
Yeah. Who cares? No, give her the get, and the Nanoshach. Either the husband's alive, and now she's divorced from him, or he's dead, in which case, either way, she's not married. Right? So what's the, so Shmuel's right, we'll get back to it. We do assume that he's Becheskas Chai, and therefore he can give a get. But in case you're wondering, why does it matter? Either he's alive or dead, he's Manashach. Yeah, the answer is?
Cohen.
Okay, good. Cohen. But I would anyways want to give the get, because maybe he's alive, and once she gets the get, she's at least Safik Mikureshas. So good, Cohen's one Afkamina, but there's another Afkamina, which is even, which is going to work the other way. Why would she, from a Cohen perspective, she's worse off if she's a Grusha as opposed to Almana, because a widow is allowed to marry a Cohen, a Grusha cannot. But there's one situation where if she's a Grusha, she's better off than she's Almana. I'll give you a hint. This case might be what we call a get of love. It's a very unusual type of a get. Yeah? Yeah. The husband, she when the shliach left Paris for Marseille, when the shliach left Beijing for Paris, so the husband, why is the husband sending a get to his wife? He's not doing well. So why is he trying to divorce his wife? The answer is that somehow they got separated, and now he realizes he may not survive to see his wife again. And he's divorcing her. This is a very unusual type of get. He's divorced her as an act of love, because they never had children. And if he dies still married to her, so then she's an almana who was zakuka liyibum. Because if her husband passes away with no descendants, but with brothers, one or more brothers, she cannot marry whoever she wishes until she either has yibum with the brother, or she's not interested in marrying the brother, does chalitza. Sometimes that could be complicated. That could be particularly complicated if the only brother lives 1,000 miles away, or the only brother lives on the other side of the Iron Curtain, or we don't know where the brother lives, or the brother lives down the block, but he's a nasty guy, unfortunately, and he's going to give her a hard time. He was always a difficult person to deal with. She never liked her husband's brother, but she loved her husband. They had a wonderful marriage. But now her husband's dying, and now she's going to... If her husband dies still married to her, she's going to have to deal with the brother-in-law. So the husband says the last gift he gives his wife, ironically, is a get. The last gift he gives his wife is, when I pass away, you'll no longer be married to me, and that way you can move on without having to deal with Yibam or Chalitza, having to deal with my difficult brother, my remote brother. So that's why we care. It's in her best interest that she becomes a grusha and not that she's presumed to be an almana. Either way, she won't be married anymore. But the question is she free to move on and marry whomever she wishes, or does she now have to deal with the brother-in-law? So that's the context of the Mishnah. And as Shmuel said, what the Mishnah is saying is yes. The Mishnah says yes. No sin al becheska shu kayam. The shliach can give the get to the wife on the presumption that the husband is still alive. Why are we presuming the husband is still alive? He's probably still alive. I don't know what the problem. I have no idea what the probabilities are. I left the guy 6 months ago. He was ill. We don't have any. We have no medical actuaries here. We have no way of figuring. Is he probably alive? Probably not. We have no idea. I don't know what the numbers are. There's no rove. What there is a chazaka. And of the six types of chazaka, this is the most common one. Sometimes referred to as a chazaka dinei ikara, chazaka of mitchila. Chazaka of what was. So you assume, I don't know what the status of a person or an item is now, so I assume that the status is the same as the last observation. Sorry? Exactly. Last time we checked, he was alive. I have a mikveh. Mikveh has to have at least 40 saw of water in order to be kosher. We measured the mikveh a week ago at 45 saw of water. Is it still half? I don't know. Can't really tell. Is it the same as it was, higher than it was? Usually when they build mikvahs, they actually have, in the tiling, there'll be bands of different colored tiles so you can see that you're over that you have enough water. But let's say it's a less fancy mikvah. So we measured a week ago, it was fine. So I have to, but I want to go to mikvah now. A week ago was fine. Maybe it lost water. Maybe it didn't lose water. I have no idea. Evaporation. Leakage, who knows what happened? So the din is, strictly speaking, chazak. The Gemara Nida Daf Beis says, cheskas male. There could be other confounding factors, at least in principle. Last time I measured, it was full. I don't know whether or not it changed. I have the right to assume, chazak de meikara, things have not changed. Sometimes I have a chazak de meikara that's helpful. Sometimes I have a chazak de meikara that's hurtful. In the case of the Mishnah Gittin Chavches, it's helpful. For the fellow's sake, I hope he's alive. And even from the just narrow context of the get, right? Cheskas chai is helpful. Cheskas male on a mikveh is helpful. Sometimes I have a cheskas heter, something used to be mutter, I assume it's still mutter. And that's one scenario. Cheskas heter. There's one type of chazak de mekar, the cheskas heter. The other type is cheskas iser. Something was treif, and I assume that it's still treif. And to take a look at the Rush in the middle of Hanizakin, the Gemara in the fifth parak of our Masechta, parak Masechta's Gittin, parak Hanizakin, the fifth parak, full of a whole host of topics, many of which are not directly related to Gittin. Remember, we started at the beginning of the year that a lot of the fourth and fifth parakim are a long stream of takanos me'tikin olam. One of them was Prisbal. All sorts of dinim that are fascinating and relevant in different contexts, not necessarily getting related. So on Daf Nun Dalam Beis, the Gemara has a discussion about we have wine. It used to be kosher. I'm not sure if a nachri made a treif. Did a nachri come by and make the wine treif or not? And do I believe you or not to tell me that the wine, I saw a Nachri be Menasech, this wine of Avodah Zarah, I saw the Nachri handle the wine, and now it's treif. So in that context, that's one of the major contexts of Ne'manus. And as you see, the Rush, there's a long Tosfos in Dalam Beis, which the Rush, here, in the old Gemara is page 206, the new Gemara is it's wherever you get up to in Parakeh, Simen Ches, the long Simen Ches where he gives you Rabbeinu Tam's whole analysis of the sugya de rechadam v'isurim, and then the Rush says, let me boil this down, the maskanas of all this, into 14 cases. We're going to take a look at the first three. Yudalad chilukim, yesh pe'inyin emanas v'isurim. So he says, number one, Aleph, there's a rule called davar shehu safek. I don't know whether something is kosher or treif, v'lo es chazik, lo isur, v'lo heter. There's no cheskas isur, no cheskas heter. Eidecha neman lo mashu mutter. Eidecha is believed to say that something is mutter. In other words, what's the chiddush? There is a rule of safek darais l'chumra. If I don't know whether something is kosher or treif, so if there's reason to believe it may be treif, I can't just assume that it's kosher. Safek darais l'chumra. But if I have eidecha, it says mutter. So then it's mutter. And he says, Gemara in Yevamos daf peches amalf. Chaticha safik chaylev safik shuman. Neman lomar shuhu shuman. Eid Echa is believed to say that this cut of meat, I don't know, I don't know, I'm not a butcher. I, Tani Cohen, can't identify, is this piece of meat headquarters meat, hindquarters meat, is that fat chelav shuman? I don't know what I'm looking at. I have no training in this. I don't know, maybe it's chelav, maybe it's shuman. And the Eid Echa says, I'm telling you that shuman, he is Namut, tell me that's mutter. The Rosh is quoted from the Gemara Yivamas. Where else could he have quoted from? Aside from Yivamas Peches, could have quoted from? Getting that vase in a vase. We just saw that line of the Gemara. And the Gemara said, ah, Ein Echad and Bisurin is like Chaticha, Safik Shal Shuman, Safik Shal Chel. I have a piece of meat. I don't know if it's Chel or Shuman. The Gemara says it here and getting that vase in a vase. The Gemara says as well, Yivamas Daf Peches. Neman Lomer Shehu Shuman. Kolshkenim who Omer Chelev. Neman. The guy says that straight, he certainly believed. After all, even without him saying it was straight, Suffolk, why is it Kolshken? Why is it more obvious to believe a guy to Machmer than to Nikol? Because Suffolk rests the Chumra. Because I didn't need him to say it straight. I would have assumed it straight without him. The Chiddush is, he's Neman to eliminate the Suffolk and tell me that it's Mutter. And then he goes on to say, over the course of the next two simanim, the next two cases, Os Beis and Os Gimel, but how about that the Cheskas Heter or Cheskas Isser? So the Rosh goes on to say, the Hechad is Chazak Hetera, if I know the thing used to be kosher, and the question is, did it become trait? Like, I had a bottle of kosher wine. I know it was kosher. We manufacture in our own winery. Not mavushal. So it was kosher. But I stepped out. I was gone for an hour. And Shaul David was there. And I come back. Shaul David says, I have bad news for you. A nacher came by and made your wine treif. Eid Echad says, Isurhu, Eino Neman. That's based on the Gemara and Gittin with the wine. That's how certainly the Bali Atosos and the Rosh understand from that Gemara that if the wine has a cheskas heter, I don't have to believe you that it became treif. And, he says in Os Gimel, the reverse is also true. If there was a cheskas iser, that's what the Gemara Yevamah says. If there was a cheskas iser, and you tell me that it's kosher, I don't believe you unless it was biyadcha. I don't believe you against the cheskas iser unless it was biyadcha. If you come and tell me that trumas and ice were taken off from these fruits, I believe you. Why? It's cheskas iser, but you could have fixed it. You could have taken trumas and ice yourself. So even if you don't, so you say someone else did, but if it's, you're not in Eid Echa, not never against the cheskas iser, unless it's biyado le saken. That's the principle of the Bali Atosas build based on the Gemara Yevamah's peches amin aleph, and we're mitzvah tomorrow are going to take that and try to use that to read Tosfos carefully, figure out what's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and we'll go from there.